All right. Good evening. If you join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us for the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. We've got a roll call public comment. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter, and any clarifying questions will go through the board. Is there any public comment? There's no public, so there shouldn't be. Okay. Let's move into new business. Rick?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As you have been made aware, Veolia Water has been going through some corporate mergers and some organizational changes that have impacted our operations here in Discovery Bay, not necessarily the day-to-day operations, but our operations nonetheless. At our request, we requested Veolia and Lenita McCauley Bates, their senior vice president, to come and address the board this evening and explain what's been taking place, what's been happening, why it's been happening, and to be able to address and answer any questions that the board may have. So it's really your pleasure as to where you want to go, if you, how you want to address that.
We'll start with the presentation.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We want to say, first of all, we appreciate you inviting us out here today to speak part of this, because although it's an issue that we think that needs to be addressed, I value the time we spend with our clients, and I think this is a good step in open communication and figuring out where we're going in the future. Again, my name is Lenita McCauley Bates. I'm Senior Vice President. I was formerly counsel for Veolia. I came from Indianapolis, Indiana, and I was part of that utility business, the water utility business there. It was a 220 MGD plant, and we would get that on the high, you know, when everyone's irrigating. And we did also capital projects, approximately $40 million a year, and we also did customer service, and that's one of the main reasons why I, again, love being out here, because customer service is critical to the growth of our business. I'm going to start out with a little background on Veolia. I've been speaking with Rick back and forth over the last couple of days, and we thought it would be appropriate to give a little background on what Veolia is and where we came from. We began in 1853. The company has modified and changed over the years, as many companies have. We started out as Campaign General Day O. We then had a name change to Vivendi. From Vivendi, we went to Veolia. Veolia Water is only a division of Veolia. There was also water, energy, waste, VES. Now we are one. We have transportation as well. Transportation is gone, and we have merged our three entities together. Mostly it's Veolia Energy and Veolia Water that has taken this complete merger and has combined our operations and our daily work. And that's to be more of a benefit to our clients, because taking both water and energy and offering certain energy audits for water facilities or water audits for energy facilities, it only made sense. So therefore, we decided to streamline the process and merge the business, and now we're all together. We have grown in the employee base, of course, because we have the energy and water together. Although there were some redundant positions, and with the redundancy, there became some cuts that occurred. And that's why we're here today, because there was actually an incident that occurred in regards to regarding an automation program that's going on in Discovery Bay, and one of the employees actually resigned. He was not cut from the employee list. He decided to resign, and that came to Discovery Bay's attention, and we wanted to be able to address that issue with you and let you know that we have the matter well at hand and we have backup plans for everything that occurs. Now I'd like to start with the presentation a little bit. I went over my background and where I've come from and where I've been and hopefully where I'm going. The Discovery Bay team, we like to call these our team. They're, we have corporate support. We have internal support that's from the Pleasant Hill office, and we also have on-the-ground project support. As we know, there has been some transition that has occurred in the project team from the area managers to the project managers, and we'll go in that in more detail. We brought a team with us today in order to demonstrate to you that there are people behind Discovery Day, and that we're not alone, just myself and Sachin and Furman here telling you what we're going to do. We're bringing the people here to the table to show you what we can do. Employee retention. We had voluntary and involuntary issues at Discovery Day. In regards to voluntary termination, a lot of the employees hit the ground, come here because it's a wonderful facility to get water and wastewater training, and then they get the experience and maybe go on to better, bigger and better things, or get an increase and a raise in another position, so they're elevated. And that's a major concern. We want to make sure that we're glad that these people are getting the experience that they need here at Discovery Bay, but we want to keep them here and try to figure out a way to keep them and keep them interested in where we're going as a business. And even if they can stay with Veolia and maybe go to another project and help out Discovery Bay on occasion. So that's what we're looking at right now. And we've had involuntary terminations, and this is what every business goes through, where someone's not meeting the needs or the demands and we let them go. There's also been employees that we've agreed upon that needed to transition out, and we've not terminated an employee that needed to transition out, but we have kept them and put them in another project where they can be beneficial with the type of skills that they can display. Our mitigation strategy going forward for retention. Again, this is something Rick and I were discussing at length and trying to figure out a way to keep people at Discovery Bay. And we're not gonna have the answer today, and we're not gonna have the answer tomorrow, but we are gonna try to seek to find an answer to this issue. One of the things that we're doing right now is having onboard improvements. We have a person that's dedicated to onboarding employees. We found that if you take time with the employees and get them up to speed and knowledgeable about the process, Veolia, opportunities, everything that the company has to offer, then you will be better set to retain those employees in the long run. So we think there's been some educational lapse and that we need to be stronger on that, and we're going to go forward and do that. In regards to that, we have discussions with employees on the list and educating employees about contract terms. Because this is one of the issues that we have, is that utilities, people want to stay at utilities forever. They love utilities. They, this is a life career. So they look at Veolia and they're saying, well, you only have a 5-year contract. I don't know. We're out of here. We're going to go somewhere that we can stay forever. That's an issue, but I think with education that we can turn around that perception or misperception that they're having, because you can actually be with Veolia forever, for years. You know, we have people that are 20, 30-year employees that have gone from project to project or have actually been at a project for a lengthy amount of time. I'm sure you guys know about our project in Burlingame, California, which celebrated its 40th anniversary this year. And it has been the longest public-private partnership and the first public-private partnership in the nation. So that is something that we're proud of, and that shows that we have some staying power in the game. Also, we're going to evaluate additional incentive programs. We're going to look at incentive programs and say, hey, are we offering the employees the appropriate amount of salary? Are we offering them retention bonuses? What exactly can we do to retain these employees? So we're looking at doing that and getting into the nitty-gritty. I spoke with Human Resources earlier this morning, actually, and we had a nice lengthy conversation about, you know, what has been going on with Discovery Bay. Where are people going? How are people transitioning? Are they leaving because of certain reasons? What are the exit interviews saying? And I think we have a good start to the plan with the onboarding and the educating. That's key in this. And also, in regards to incentive programs, we do a survey of salaries, and we find out what's competitive in the market. We don't go to Indiana, let's say from where I came from, and compare to California. We go to California and compare to California. So that's what we're basing our salaries on. And we're going to evaluate that even further and see if we're doing the right thing and evaluating it on and making sure we're evaluating what salaries we pay on the right baseline. We think we are. We certainly do. But we can always do continuous improvement. I'm going to turn it over to Sasha to kind of go through the technical part of it and the business plan for going forward for Discovery Bay.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sachin Chavla. I am the current VP of Operations for the Northern California area. I have been with Veolia for the last 7 years. And in my previous role at Veolia, I've been a project manager and area manager for the Southern California region. Just wanted to talk a little bit about my background. I have my bachelor's in chemical engineering and my master's in environmental engineering. And I have had more than 15 years of experience in the environmental, water, wastewater, groundwater treatment field. So as Anita said, talking about what next, I mean, where do we go from here? Because one of the concerns or issues which came up in our meeting was, you know, there was these people who were supporting this great project. Now, those people are no longer with Veolia. What do we do next? I mean, are we going to be with just the operational staff out here, or is there support behind us? And as Lenita alluded earlier, that's what we've brought. So some of the people I wanted to introduce to the board and the staff out here. First is the process control. I mean, process control is the key for water, wastewater. Veolia has implemented a proprietary process control management plan and a database which we maintain to input all the data which we collect for the field. And I'm just pointing out to Ed right now. Ed's been with the company for over 7 to 10 years, and in this field, I said more than 25. Ed corrected me right now. He's been in this field for 31 years. You know, so sorry, Ed, shortened your experience a little bit. But Ed's been in this role as a technical direction person or technical support person. So he will, you know, if the project manager has any issues, he will obviously call upon Ed, but also on a regular basis, weekly and monthly, we generate some reports which go to the technical manager and they review it. And they will foresee, or you know, if there's an alarm, they'll tell, okay, let's figure it out before it becomes an actual compliance issue. So that's going to be Ed's role going forward. The next one is the HACWIMS database and regulatory reports. And one of the person who is supporting, who's not with us, right now in California, we have a person called Brian Exberger. Brian was a project manager at Rio Vista, which is very close from here. And right now, he's also working on another project in the Bay Area. And Brian's going to be supporting us in that capacity so that we are making sure the report's already there, that if there are any changes in the parameters which the regional board wants, and we have to make changes to the report, and he will support Furman to come and make those changes in the database and help Furman out. Chris McAuliffe, I think many of you have seen him. Chris was out here at the start of the project when we took over this project from the previous operator. Chris was the startup manager for almost 6 months?
First 2 months was in as needed.
And then Chris supported the transition, hiring the project managers and putting this team together out here. So Chris also lives in very close to here, and he's available as a resource for this project. And his general role in the right now is he does support, you know, let's say if somebody leaves and we have to fill in the gap, Chris would come and fill in or help with the reports or regulatory reports. You know, so Chris does also in a technical support function, but at a regional level. John O'Hare, many of you met John also. John's been around this project. John's previous role was what Ed's doing, and John and Ed were doing this together at different projects. And right now, John's current role is industrial pretreatment and mainly California regulations. So if there's anything coming in the regulation which is changing, you know, John keeps up to date on that and informs the client in advance so that we can be prepared for that. So John's also available as a technical resource. The next one is asset management. I mean, you know, the assets are yours, the treatment plant, the water treatment plant and the wastewater treatment plant. And this is something we're very proud of. I mean, you know, our asset management program is one of the best in the industry. And again, here we have proprietary software. We've installed those softwares out here. We manage that database so that we can look at your equipment and do preventive and corrective maintenance on time. So that is a group which is led by Melissa Demski. Melissa could not make it. She had a conflicting meeting. But Animesh Urukula is part of the same team. Animesh's main role is on the underground asset side. And we also have a gentleman, his name is Dave Kaufman. He will be actually, he's already scheduled to come out here to work with Foreman. And you know, just on time to time, these people go out there, look at the database, make sure all the preventive maintenance and corrective maintenance has been done and is on schedule. So they will, he'll support on the above ground side, and Animesh is going to support, continue support on the underground asset side. And one of the last one, which you know, we talked about and was not a concern on the day-to-day operation, but on the capital projects, was automation and integration. And this was because I think the city or the town is right now in the middle of a major capital upgrade, and Veolia had to complete certain things by the end of the year or by a certain timeline. So right now, I think based after working with Gregory and Rick, I think the plan is in place. The gentleman who resigned from Veolia is being retained on a contract by Veolia to help support that. At the same time, Tom is stout. Tom is out here. Tom's been with Veolia on the energy side, and now he's looking over energy and water side for the automation integration. So along with Tom and the gentleman who resigned, who's been retained on a consulting contract, and also Cascade integration. We've used Cascade integration at all our Northern California projects for field support. Just because at each project, you don't need a dedicated INC person. So that's why we use the contractor, and along with Tom and Cascade, we'll be able to execute the capital projects and meet the commitment we had, you know, we promised. So with that, that's, you know, any questions, but that's one of the, you know, just wanted to highlight some of the major concerns and functions out here.
I'm sure you understand where our concern comes from. To us, companies don't wake up on Saturday morning and announce a reorganization. We've gone through the JCPenney's and the Mervyn's and the Best Buy, and the reorganization came and then the company fell apart. And when you hear redundancy over and over again, and we're going to eliminate this and eliminate that, you just start thinking it's down the same old hill. And we're in the middle of capital projects that we're very concerned about, very committed to. And so for us, when we first thing I heard when Rick told me, I said, call the meeting of the board. Because it's very hard to just fathom why a company's just reorganizing. When did this start, this reorganization?
Well, it started in the Paris level in 2011. They started looking at whether or not they're going to merge and converge. And they didn't know how the convergence was really going to look. They just knew that, and really, it started in 2005, let's say that. There was an umbrella that everyone had their own, they had their own business, Veolia Water, U.S. Filter actually at the time, Dow Kia, and so on and so forth, energy, which was energy. So in 2005, we all went under one umbrella, and everyone was branded the same, Veolia, okay? So that's when it initially started. But I think everyone was too scared to kind of merge everyone all at once at the same time at that point in time. So that's the sort of process we started going in 2011. How can we merge these businesses together? Because it only makes sense. Now, I can understand the concern when it has to do with those other companies, but they weren't merging like divisions together. And we're putting in actual divisions together to work together. And that's what we see, is that we're trying to streamline our business and offer more services to our customers.
Who are some of your other customers in California?
We have Burlingame, we have Atwater, we have Arden, Stringfellow, Lathrop, Rialto. And that's one of the biggest ones that exists out there.
Under this reorganization, I heard you mention you've sold off your transportation division. Is that correct?
Yes, the transportation division.
So no longer when I go to Phoenix will I see Veolia on the buses? I did. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But the question that brings to mind then is, where do you feel the focus of your business is going to be now? Because you were more diversified before, it seems, appears to be. And so how would you, where's the focus of this umbrella? Where's the center of the umbrella going to be now within your company?
Yeah, our focus is environmental services, making sure that there's water, wastewater, energy. That's really our, and making sure hazardous waste is disposed of, that sort of thing. That's where our focus is. That's the core of our business.
Yeah, and also in that, also I'd like to add a little bit on under that, the O&M business, you know, the operation maintenance, what we're doing out here, similar with the energy side. Energy side, actually, we own a lot of that, but we are focusing more on operation and maintenance of these big district energy plants, whether cool water, hot water. So we are focusing and concentrating our efforts on pure O&M, which is what we provide out here too.
With the employees that you've lost through attrition or through firing or through whichever, and I know you introduced a group tonight that's going to be responsible for Discovery Bay. How thin are they being spread, I guess, is my question. I mean, I know you've let a lot of people go, you have not replaced. So bringing these folks into us means they're either going to be neglecting somebody else, or they're going to be split between us and somebody else that they weren't split from before.
Yeah, some people are expanding their territory, but then we have certain people like we have Sasha and we have Rick Smith, who's over Southern California, and we have Melissa Sandvogt that's over Northwest. You know, we had before four area managers, if you count the energy in it, but we were separate. So now that we're together, it makes sense that we're going to have three instead, and instead of having two in Southern California, have one in Southern California, have one in Northern California, and one in the Pacific Northwest. So that's kind of how it's been separated. We are also bringing in some additional people to do account management. So that will be taken off of, let's say, Sasha's plate now. He will no longer have to focus on account management. We have someone focusing on that. So we're taking some of their job responsibility away, but giving them a little bit more projects to look over, if that makes sense.
Bill? I'm not here to shoot the messenger. So
okay.
The messengers are here. I appreciate your presentation and your input. I did a little research too because I didn't know Veolia. I'm relatively new, been about a year and a half on the board, so I'm kind of coming up to speed. Veolia is pretty big. You've got $40 billion in revenue a year. 41% of that comes out of water and wastewater business. You have about 220,000 employees worldwide. 6% of that is in the U.S., so you've got about $2.4 billion worth of revenue here and about 25,000 employees in the United States. So if we look at it globally, yes, that's big, but not as big as what's going on in Europe. And I think some of the other board members were concerned about, well, 6%, we can afford to cut that loose and, you know, we'll just exit the stage. You're correct. You mentioned in 2011 there was a strategic plan put in place. Part of that strategic plan was to streamline the organizational structures, all the entities, et cetera, pooling and sharing geographic areas, which you've talked about, marketing resources, and improve your base, your profit. Standard, and that was done in 2011. Standard & Poor's just last year put out a revised outlook, and it called the Veolia outlook revised to negative. And some of the things that they mentioned is that they don't believe that you're going to be able to meet your structural goals. In that strategic report, it said that you're going to try and have it done by 2013.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They believe it's probably going to take to 2015 if you can make all these things happen. I don't want to get into the report and all the details, but to me, this set off a little bit of alarm when I found this. You mentioned it earlier that, in not so many words, but I'll call it a training ground. You know, Discovery Bay is an entry-level area. We understand we're not that big. And certainly there needs to be something, some sort of an incentive for folks to want to stay here. Or, you know, if it's a training ground, you know, I can't speak for my fellow board members. This is something you can think about. Put more bodies here. And if you have more bodies over here, you've got duplication and you can be training here. I don't think there'd be any problem. If you've got more bodies over here, we got more eyes looking at what's going on. You have more opportunity to do your operations and maintenance, preventive maintenance and those kind of things. And yeah, okay, it's a training ground. That's okay. You come in. But from our standpoint, we're well protected. We got lots of people, mm-hmm. providing the supervision is there, that we don't have so many new people that nobody knows what's going on. So there's a catch 22 there, but that might be something to think about. And one of the minor things that's been reported to us is the closed caption TV cameras that are supposed to be, you know, taking a look at the pipe underground. Mm-hmm. We've got 0 feet of that completed to date, and the reason is can't get your cameras over here. Now, I'm not saying anything about Furman. I think he's doing a fantastic right. job. But just in my discovery of just that one area, there shouldn't be any reason for that.
To date, you mean this year? Or
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, per contract, we're supposed to be.
Yeah, no, every year we've done that. this fiscal year, I think fiscal year is from, I think, when did the contract
May
go,
to May.
May to May.
Right.
So yeah, we are, I think we've not done it this year, but it's on schedule to get it done.
Well, I understand, but right. I'm looking at it from my standpoint. Mm-hmm. Our job up here is to, it's fiduciary responsibility of right. sending out a check to you guys every month, and we got 0% done so far. That means that somebody's going to have to do a lot of work on that. So there's some areas that need to be improved on locally. And it's fine to have we're getting better, we're changing. And again, I understand where you guys are at. You get directed to do things. But if something happens here, the residents of this community are not going to be saying it's Veolia's fault. They're going to be saying it's the five of us' fault, because we're the ones that kept the contract. And so what I would hope to get a sense of, and you brought a little bit of it, is I've got to get that warm and fuzzy feeling back again. And I understand, you say, well, retention, they're looking at it's a five-year contract. Well, it's a $16 million contract. It can be presented to employees pretty easily that this is a 15-year contract. Mm-hmm. And I agree, you need to do some education. But that's not our job to do
no,
that.
No, it's not. It's our job.
I understand.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't think there'd be a problem with this board or future board if all of the things that were supposed to be happening happen and we take a look at a longer contract. I can't speak for anybody about that, but I think it's prudent that we only had a five-year contract with some options to go into the future, because we need a track record. Well, the track record's only 4 years old, and we've had 4 or 5 project managers in here. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I agree. Well, there are some room for improvement, most definitely. Mm-hmm. But in any business, there's room for improvement. We're going to get the work done. We're committed to get the work done that we say that we're going to do. So I come from the background of contract management, putting down exactly what you're going to do and doing it. So I believe in that. And the only way that you can show it is to do it.
Right.
So we're going to talk more about where we are with the backlog, and we'll address it to you. Another thing that we can do is start setting up more meetings where we come in and speak to you about things and give you updates. If you believe that we're not, you know, communicating effectively, because I want to make sure that we're communicating and that we're getting you what you need in a timely basis. And I'm glad that you did research on Veolia. North America is actually above our target. We're doing very, very well with getting everything integrated. We've moved very quickly compared to other countries, and we're doing very well with our plan. So, and I'm integrated now in energy and water, and it's been a wonderful learning tool, and seeing what we can do at some of our projects with the energy audits. I mean, it's exciting to me. But thank you for your comments, and we will definitely get more communication going on with you about where we are with our progress.
Yeah, I just want to appreciate what my colleague, Director Peace, had to say with regards to the, I like to use the word, the warm and fuzzy, because I really think what the goal is here, and what the goal was 3.5 years ago, when we sat at the table and tried to develop, try to figure out where we're going to move forward and with what contractor we're going to move forward, is that we're a team. And Bill also alluded to that when he says, you know, because we're going to be responsible for your actions to our constituents. we don't want to be adversarial. We don't want to develop a, you know, we're all sitting at a round table together here tonight. We don't want to develop a relationship where we're having to, you know, not be satisfied with what's going on. We want to work as a team. And the communication is good on a local level. I mean, I can stop in and talk to Furman at any time, and he explains things to me or answers questions. But I think it's important that we look at the relationship as a team relationship, that that we're all working towards the same goal. I would echo the sentiments of the turnover with regards to experience, really. If it's just a training ground to bring in new people, that's not, I mean, we have some unique systems within our, I'm really concerned about the UV experience. We've had some people that know the system. I know Furman knows it from a management level, but we need people that can maintain, and that's critical, that's the final step, to clean the water. I mean, it's critical that we get this, that we have people that understand our system and they can stay with it and keep it operating properly, and turnover does not promote that. That's not a system that's in every wastewater plant. I won't say it's unique, because it's in a few. I mean, I know I was up at the Auburn plant, and they have the same system up there, but not every wastewater treatment plant uses the UV as the final step. I think it's critical that I think where the turnover can hurt us is in the fact that nobody really learns our system, learns our plant. And so that would be a chief concern of mine also.
Hey, Marion, did you have anything?
Well, just a very minor comment, in that your organizational chart shows an awful lot of change as far as people that were familiar with Discovery Bay compared to now. That's a pretty dramatic switch as far as senior level people really having a base with the individuals here in Discovery Bay. So it just looks a little awful big change.
Well, just to let you know, I've been involved with Discovery Bay since we negotiated the last contract, so I'm definitely familiar with Discovery Bay. John O'Hare and Chris McCullough have been involved in Discovery Bay. Ed Dix has been involved with Discovery Bay. So we've had the people that are familiar with Discovery Bay, but the latest people that were maybe entwined with the group, with Discovery Bay itself, a couple of them are no longer here. And we did not have much transition and change in the West. We didn't. I mean, we had it impact three people or something like that, three people. So we haven't had a lot of change.
I think one of the things for me that's been a pet peeve, has been constant, and I think Rick will tell you, is turnover. And each project manager that was here or that we spoke to, it was a monthly conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things when we negotiated your last contract, we talked about wage and the employees earning a wage that would keep them here.
Yep.
Right.
And that's not happening, because we're going through people. It seems like they're going in one door and out the other. And that concerns me deeply.
You're not maintaining the staffing levels.
And you can't, there's no loyalty if somebody doesn't plan on, if a person doesn't plan on being here, then they don't do 100% job. I mean, as a business owner myself, the employees that I had, you know by their attitude, when they're not feeling they're being paid enough or being taken care of, they're your weakest employee.
Yeah.
And we've got along great with the people from Veolia, and we love you guys. And it's not a matter of, as Kevin said, there's no adversarial position. Everything is fine. But we see new employees come and go. It's like we're training them for somebody else. And our feeling was, when we negotiated the contract, was that they would be paid enough to keep them here.
Right. And sir, may I just comment a little bit? I took over the Northern California area right now, and in Southern California, for me, it was the other way around. People have stayed at the project for forever. And for me, just making my one initial round, and not only for Discovery Bay, but I realized Lathrop, Rio Vista, and a few other projects, there's a very high turnover, not only in Discovery Bay, but other projects in Northern California. So I am working with our HR and Lenita right now to get into the deep of it. I mean, what is causing it? And for one reason, salaries is, I mean, normally you think money is, you know, the criteria. Salary is not the one of the main reason. I mean, I think job security is the bigger one. You know, am I going to be here? If I'm going to move my family out here, am I going to be here for 10 years? You know, so those are kind of other things which are coming out. And as Lenita alluded, we need to educate our employees. We need to tell them that, yeah, we have two more options here. So it's not like this contract is going away. As long as we perform well, the board would give us an opportunity to stay out here. So those are kind of things we have to look at with our employees and I agree with you. I mean, as a business, it's a nightmare for me if I hear from Foreman that a guy has left. I mean, you know, again, we got to start it back up, the recruitment process, getting him on board, getting Ed Biggs to, or John O'Hare or Chris to come and train those guys again. It's money drain for us too. So we understand the concern, and you know, I think we're going to keep that as a high priority.
The one thing for me that's confusing is all wastewater contracts are contracts. So somebody who leaves here to go to work for John Smith's service is a 5-year contract also. I mean, it's not like they're leaving here for a permanent job.
No, they go to work for like a municipalities, like a regional plan, like a public entity. So if they go to a public entity and, you know, they'll retire from
municipality. Yeah, it's going to be there
SAC
forever.
Regional. I mean, we have two people leave us from another project to SAC Regional. You know, so they think of that as a long-term job. They're never going to leave that place. They can move their family and live there for 30 years. You know, so.
And again, we need to start targeting employees with another mindset as well, and that's part of the onboarding. Because if employees want to move up and do something interesting and exciting, then they can stay with Veolia. We have so many different things and wonderful offerings to give them. But if people want to go into a place and stay forever, then they're more of the municipal, stay at a municipality type of employee. And those are the employees that we do not need to retain. So we're going to evaluate that process.
I appreciate you being here tonight and telling us where you're coming from. And I know the board had questions. And
on the what I'd like to hear is some sort of a time frame on when you'd be able to get back to us on the concepts you're just talking about now. I understand you have to think about it, and you said, well, gee, we're finding that we've got turnover here, there, and everywhere. We need to come up with a plan. What do you think is reasonable to get a basic concept or something put together that you could report back to us? Here's what we're planning to do in the future, kind of a thing.
For retention?
Yeah.
I think the end of the first quarter of 2014 would be reasonable. The beginning of March would
All right.
be a good time.
Okay, well, then I might suggest that why don't we just preset and get with Rick, figure out the date.
Okay.
Come to one of our regular meetings. I don't think we need to have a special meeting, but work it out and bring to us in March here's where we've come from today.
Yes.
And here's where we are now. It gives you plenty of time to get with corporate and all that to figure it all out. I would like to see, I haven't spoken to Furman about any of this at all. I think he does a fantastic job. He's doing a good job. But I certainly would like to see some upper management communication with him and address his needs locally. Because when you're at different levels, it's sometimes a little more difficult to say, hey, come on, you got to give me some help down here.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know, the
right.
cable, your TV things, and you're probably not even aware. You don't need to be aware of it. But if it doesn't filter up, or if we're the step between where he's at and where you're at, if that communication needs to be improved, we need to make that happen. I would certainly hope by March we don't have zero.
Oh, yeah.
Feet.
You can count on that.
Camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And we are better in communication. Sasha is actually giving me a weekly update on the projects. I want to know exactly what the projects are doing on a week-to-week basis. Mm-hmm. But that's just my personality and hands-on. But I just started this 2 weeks ago, so what do I know? But we're hoping to get more information as we go along.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you're the messenger. And you're here. So, you know, your CEO can't sit here, but
right.
You're here. So,
and I'll be here.
I will echo the same thing. I want this relationship to be a comfortable relationship. I would like to see it as a long-term relationship. My personal preference, I think, having a firm such as Veolia handle the parts of the business that you handle is actually better for us because of the size we are. But I'm not hesitant to change horses if things aren't going in the right direction, and I think you can appreciate that because we're the ones that the community has put in charge of making sure that the water and wastewater get taken care of, and they don't care how it gets done.
Right.
And I take that charge very, very seriously. So again, I'll thank you also for coming, and I appreciate the other team members from coming, and I would look forward to March having a very uplifting presentation.
And this was uplifting, right?
Yeah. It'll even get better in March. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
Let me, Greg, our current projects, our critical projects, where do we stand since the changes come in, and where do we stand now?
On the capital projects, Sachin and I have worked together over the last 2 weeks to come up with a plan with Kip, who was let go but now retained, and the hiring of Cascade Controls. And in addition, we had the control panel arrive in time. And now that Kip is coordinating with the people behind the scenes, it has started moving forth again. So, I think where we really were having a crisis is when everything just stopped and everyone was gone and everything just stopped and say, wait a minute, it's not the time to stop for us. We have real deadlines that we have to meet. So I think we've turned that around. And as long as all that proceeds, mm-hmm. Per plan, then I think we have a plan, and we've already executed that plan. We've already started working with Kip. We started working with Mountain Cascade. I started working with both of them. I started working with Colin and building the panels. So it looks like it was a big road bump and everything stopped for a while, but we're back on track and moving forward again. So that aspect looks good.
See, and I think, Lenia, this is one of the concerns that I had, that this project was allowed to stop because of your transition. Mm-hmm. And we weren't considered in this. And this is what I think started the phone call from me to Rick, that it just came to a halt. And when you guys were making your changes, you didn't take into account that this was going to come to a halt.
Well, let me clarify one thing.
Thanks,
Kip was not let go. Kip resigned. So it's like anyone who resigns and he's doing a project and then things halt and stop because it's like, wow, this guy has just left us. So we did not plan on that. We sincerely apologize for that. But now Kip is back on the team as a consultant at least. We're sorry we lost a good employee, but he wanted to be in a consultant style now. But I understand your concern, but we really had no clue that was going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's one of those points.
Right.
From a corporate standpoint, again, I reiterated the amount of employees that you have, but you've got to get down into the trenches and inform them of what's happening or what's coming. So those kinds of things aren't a surprise to management.
I just have a couple short comments. One, when we were notified almost 2 weeks ago tonight, I think, I got a call from Furman letting me know about Sachin's predecessor. At that point in time, the impact to us was really negligible. When it came 48 hours later, that Kip had determined that it was better for him to move on for whatever reason, that's when we became very, very concerned. I will say that I'm very appreciative of Sachin, Gregory Harris, and Violi for bringing Kip back contractually to get this done. I know that he's not only working for us, but I believe you're gonna be working with him on a couple of other projects. So that did happen pretty quickly, and we're very grateful for that. A couple things I did wanna correct. We don't wanna be a training ground for your staff. I think you know that. That was one of the conversations Lenita and I and Dan sat in a room and hashed out the contract a few years ago. And that was one of the big concerns that we had, is we didn't want to be a training ground. So I want to make sure that when we come back here in March, that's addressed and that is hopefully not going to be on the table. Obviously, you're going to bring some people in that are going to be new, and they might be new to the business, but the fact of the matter is they'll have good people above them to train them. The other thing has to do with the annual CCTV as well as the cleaning, the flushing of the lines. I don't, and the flushing has to take place prior to the CCTV, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And you are moving forward, and I know that you're having a difficult time. Firm, and I've had a couple conversations about it. Mm-hmm. So as we do reach the end of our contract year, which is April 30th, right. I agree with Director Pisa's sentiments, and we do need to make sure that we have that in there as well. So I just wanted to, just for the record, make some of those comments and be able to let you know some of those items.
Thanks, sure. Kevin, you also.
I appreciate you all being here, and I hope that you guys have some very tight communication at all times with us. I don't want to be a training ground here at all. I have always thought of you guys as the best of the best, and I expect that kind of service for our contract. At some point here, I want to ask the board at some point to reassess our contract for almost mid-year or mid through our five-year contract with you. At some point, I just want to make sure we're, you guys are meeting the letter of what the intended was of that contract. So just you guys have some really tight communication. Training is the highest priority for us, and making sure Furman does an excellent job, and Greg, we've got a good team out here, and but we just we want to attract some good people, and your incentive programs, I don't know what it takes, but you guys need to maintain the staffing level. And it's been since I got on the board about 4 years ago, that was the first thing I started, I always heard a conversation, gosh, we need to make sure we need to have all these guys on the ground to make sure they're taken care of and we're watching things. And so that's just one thing I'm concerned about. But I do appreciate the support. I do want to have a team environment here. And, and I am a little bit technical, and I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to get to know the automation guys.
Just one thing. We do not want you guys to be a training ground either. Yeah. But that is not unique to Discovery Bay. I mean, that's many facilities are the same way. But we want people to have the Veolia mindset that stay around, you get great things that happen with Veolia and staying part of the family here. So again, we don't want that, but that's what we've heard that some employees have done.
I was about to say the same thing with training grounds. That, I mean, it's not our intention to make this a training ground, but people come and join us, and then they go work for regional, like a public entity. So
well, we all have the same goal there then, and I think that's really good. Right. Back 2.5 years ago, was it, that when we signed the contract with y'all, I think there's only three of us in the room right now that sat at those tables, those negotiations. That's Virgil, Rick, and myself.
And Greg.
Well, and Greg might have, I guess Greg was probably there for that. Ray was the other board member of one of our previous, that was completely engaged, also in the water and wastewater. And when we looked at your proposals, and when we were interviewing you and two other organizations in the final cut, one of the big things that you guys came back with was, hey, we came in an emergency situation and took care of the things they need to take care of, and you guys did, because we were in a crisis when you came on board. And you did. And a lot of the backlog that occurred and other things happened because you had to be reactive. You couldn't be proactive at that point because you were coming in and taking over for an organization that had let us down. But one of the things that was interesting was that over and over again in that conversation, when we talked about the price levels and what your contract levels were going to be with regards to numbers, you had indicated over and over, you being Veolia, none of you personally were there, but the team had indicated that you needed 8 people full-time to man this thing. And the other two companies that we interviewed only had 7 people in their plan. And so when we kind of talked about numbers, but we know because we're here. And so my concern is that Furman comes in and gives us a report every month, and it's a great report, and it's very thorough. And one of the items that's in that report are the man hours that are worked each month. These are things that we've asked him to provide for us in a report, and is the personnel hours. And I had asked our staff to go back and evaluate that and add those up for me. And when you I believe you guys probably received this information already, so you kind of know where I'm going with this. But when you go back for this only goes back to January 1st, so for the last 11 months, you are just slightly over 7 people full-time here, 7 full-time employees. It's like 7.0632 or something like that. That concerns me. First of all, we're paying you for 8 people. That was part of what we agreed upon when we signed the contract, was we were okay, we're going to pay you to have 8 because you had given us a breakdown chart and where all the manpower needed to be. I like to, you guys have to maintain 8. I understand that they're this guy leaves from this position, it takes 2 or 3 months to hire him. Somebody leaves from this position, it takes 2 or 3 months. But as that all adds up, that equals a full man over the full year when you do the math. And we're paying you for 8 people, and we only got 7 last year. We need to change that. It's just not, it's not the contract that we agreed to. But I will say that if I had this conversation with Rick today, it was just 2 weeks ago that all this came down. Welcome to the game, right? Right when you came on board, this occurred. And I want to say that, that the quality of a company a lot of times is predicated on how they deal with controversy and how they deal with challenge and how they deal with issues. And you guys have responded tremendously to this. It's only been 2 weeks. You're sitting here in front of us, and we're resolving the issue, or we're at least addressing the issue in a way that we think we can resolve the issue. So I just want to give you kudos for in this short two-week period, and I know the days have probably been shorter for you than they have for me, that you guys have stepped up. You're here. You're addressing the problem, and that says a lot about a company. So I think it's good that we're all here. I think it's good that we're all addressing it. And but I would like to get back to those eight, that we get what we're paying for, right. That we get those eight full-time employees.
We have any other comments?
Thank you.
Yeah. And I can say thank you very much, Eric. We appreciate you coming tonight. I know that you all came from different areas to be here, and communication is going to be huge. And at this point, I'm hoping this is the starting point for the communication, where it doesn't die here until we drag everybody into the room again. I'd like you guys to be proactive with us, and let us know what's happening. This is what's here's what we've done. Here's where we're going. Here's what we're doing. And I think we can live with that.
Mark kind of made me think of one thing.
I did. I knew I would.
Yeah. 100 years ago, I went through the Disney School of Management, and they told us to go out and talk to the employees. And the number one complaint the employees had was lack of communication. So I think that's key among your own people as well as with us. So I agree absolutely with what you said.
It says a lot that you said that you didn't just send one person here to appease us. I mean, I appreciate all of us do. And hopefully going forward, we'll be able to keep this smooth. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll meet in March.
Yeah. Before that, too. Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day.
What do you do? We're going to nothing.
Good.
We're going to adjourn this, and I thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas.